What kind of hostility do Christians encounter? When does hostility become persecution? And how can we respond? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Standing Firm is written by scientist Dr. Jesse Yao. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution.
Thank you for all joining me for my first episode of The Late Show With, starring Stephen Colbert. I am he. You are all witnessing television history. And like most history, it's not on the History Channel. With this show, as many people have asked, of this show, I begin the search for the real Stephen Colbert. I just hope I don't find him on Ashley Madison.
That's the familiar voice of Stephen Colbert taking the reins of The Late Show from David Letterman on Monday night. He's a seasoned comedian. This is the pinnacle of a person's career. This is the kind of thing that does actually put you in television history. He's quite correct about that. One of the things, and there's been a lot of writing about Stephen Colbert lately, one of the things that has been written about, and then sometimes, curiously, not written about, is the faith of comedian Stephen Colbert. He is a Roman Catholic. He talks about it, but the press often doesn't, and I wonder why that is. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, September the 10th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly will be with us for the first few minutes to talk about the faith of comedian Stephen Colbert. We'll review the movie War Room with Pastor Joseph Abrahamson, a little bit of a conversation on the difference between historic Lutheranism and a lot of 20th century, especially 20th century American Lutheranism. Pastor Christopher Jackson will be our guest, and Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us in the last half hour or so. Our series with him, Christ in the Old Testament, today Isaiah 50, Israel's Sins and the Servant's Obedience. Joining us to talk about the faith of comedian Stephen Colbert, a regular guest, Terry Mattingly. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to talk to you again.
Do we just have to kind of accept the fact that Stephen Colbert is perhaps one of the most notable Christian believers in the United States today?
Yeah, I think at this point you have to, simply because the mainstream media is increasingly making that a part of his presentation of him. Some are, some aren't. And I think it's fascinating because he's identified himself pretty clearly as a political progressive. He has talked about the tensions he feels within his Catholic faith. But yet, on a number of occasions, he's kind of been pushed to the edge and has come out swinging. And you're not going to hear this guy attacking the Roman Catholic Catechism, you know, which is a pretty basic document of faith. I'm intrigued right now with the fact that some people in our media and our popular culture have totally embraced that his Catholicism is a part of his really amazing life story and all the pain his family has been through and stuff, and others continue to ignore it. That's why I wrote about it this week at Get Religion after writing a column about him myself for the Universal Syndicate last week. I'm fascinated that he is and he isn't one of the most public, you know, Christians in American media. And that varies so much in terms of how people want to present his story.
You spoke a moment ago about the kind of the pain in his life, which is kind of a common theme among some of the very best comedians out there. And he certainly is, at least in my opinion. Does that stuff get covered by the likes of the New York Times without reference to Colbert's faith?
Yeah. I mean, once again, what set me off the other day was that the New York Times did a huge piece on him before his show kicks on the air and spent like two sentences of content on his faith and kind of just said, well, hey, I'm a white Christian male. And another notes that he was raised in Charleston, South Carolina, in a Catholic family, which is kind of like an understatement of all time. Meanwhile, we have a Gentleman's Quarterly, a GQ article out that goes into incredible detail about how the Catholicism, his family, and the tragedy that struck his family, and I'll talk about that in just a second, how all of that is linked up to his understanding of comedy and to his own return to faith is somehow linked to his ability to kind of accept pain and accept risk, and it's all one package. Okay, so let's go back. He is the youngest of 11 children in a Catholic family in Charleston, South Carolina, but it also helps to know that you're dealing with his father was a brilliant physician and researcher and medical school dean, and his mother had some training as an actress. They had been in Germany for a while. This is clearly a brilliant family with 11 children. And then the event that everybody pretty much has to talk about, because Colbert has been pretty open about it for a number of years, is that in 1974, he lost his dad, and the two of his brothers who were closest in age to him were on a famous airline crash in Charlotte, North Carolina, and were killed, leaving him as the youngest child at home with his devout Catholic mother, just in shock. And he kind of wanders around, and he gets into drama, he gets into philosophy, he gets into a lot of stuff. He just says that these were very black years. And then in another interview, he tells the story that he was walking on a street in Chicago one day, and a man handed him a Bible, a Gideon handed him a Bible, and he went to his room and he opened it up, and it was arranged, as Gideon Bibles are, by topics in the back. And under the session about depression, he read the Sermon on the Mount. And the way he has said a number of times, he said, it just spoke to me. And that he made a breakthrough and made a breakthrough back to his faith. Now, in the GQ article, which is really fascinating, I recommend to our listeners that they look this up in the pieces that are at Get Religion, or just search for it yourself using a search engine. The late, great Stephen Colbert is the name of the article in GQ. There is this section where he talks about when he was working in Second City, I'm glad you mentioned that a mentor there told him that you can't be an improvisational humorist and comedian if you're too scared to fail. And this mentor taught him a crucial phrase, which is you've got to learn to love the bomb. You've got to be able to love the fact that sometime you're going to fail, that you're going to risk that. And then Colbert turns that around into a discussion of how he had to learn to love the bomb in his own life, which was the death of his father and brothers and the impact that had on his family. And he links this explicitly to Catholicism, and specifically to a letter from J.R.R. Tolkien, in which Tolkien makes a point, you know, when God sends pain in life, when God even sends punishment tragedy into life, when are these things not also a chance for God to gift you in some way in your experience that you learn from it? That God wouldn't put something into your life that you aren't supposed to also embrace as a gift, a painful gift, what C.S. Lewis would call a severe mercy, that you learn from, and it helps you become the person that God wants you to be if you accept it and embrace it. Now, that's pretty advanced talk from a late-night TV show comedian. Can we kind of agree on that?
Yeah.
And there it all is in GQ. And what I argued in my piece at Get Religion is when you have someone is the leader of the team at his Connecticut parish that his family attends to help people convert to the Catholic faith, when you have someone who knows the faith that well, knows the catechism that well, and he's talking about it in public media, and at the same time he's the successor to David Letterman, how do you not make that a part of a story if the goal is to tell readers why this man is who he is, why his comedy is what it is, and why some of his passions are there, some of the subjects he's most passionate about, like hunger and like immigration and like, you know, environment and a host of other things. That he's definitely a progressive Catholic on a lot of issues, but like I say, you won't see this man undercut basic Catholic faith on the air. At least it hadn't happened yet.
If only you're going to take the angle to do a little gentle, because Letterman still looms large in the back here, gentle contrast with David Letterman, who is in Hollywood and in his long career known for an extreme kind of cynicism, both on and off the stage. What do you think?
Well, there was a moment in the first show last night. I don't know how many of our listeners stayed up to watch the first Colbert show on CBS, but he opened with a riff where he's singing, and they're taking him all across America. It was God Bless America, wasn't it? Was that the song he did? Is it that or America the Beautiful? I forget which one he did now. I'm having a bit of a panic attack here. But the key was he showed himself singing this patriotic song in a number of different locations with ordinary people and with, you know, in famous locations and then in obscure places. And he has a spectacular stage-trained voice. He really kind of has like a Broadway show-type voice at times. And the critics talked about the fact that if Letterman had done this, people would have immediately have interpreted it as kind of a postmodern cynical riff on America and patriotism. But the way Colbert did it, it just shone with sincerity. Like, welcome nation, this is who I am. Here I am all over America. I'm going to play this straight. It was a smile of sincerity, not a smile of sarcasm. And then the man can pull off sarcasm, obviously. I mean, he's been living in the skin of a narcissistic right-wing pundit, you know, for a decade. He had a good line last night with Jeb Bush where he said, you know, I've been playing a right-wing narcissist Politico commentator. Now I'm just playing a narcissist, which was kind of a nice touch. He, in some ways, is the anti-Letterman, even though they both have that sarcastic, biting edge. It's all about the smile. These are two men with radically different smiles, is the way some critics have been describing it.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about the faith of comedian and talk show host Stephen Colbert. When we come back, something about that Jeb Bush interview. Got a question for Terry about that. Stay tuned. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? AdCrucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with AdCrucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at BLC.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest of GetReligion.org. We're talking about the faith of comedian and talk show host Stephen Colbert and the media coverage of it as well. Terry, before the break, you mentioned the second interview he did on that opening night was with the Republican presidential candidate Jeb Bush and fellow Catholic, by the way. But if I'm remembering correctly, he didn't mention their Catholicism. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's really interesting, and it implies some kind of shift from how he operated on the Comedy Central show, where I don't think he ever had a Catholic on the show that he didn't, like, greet them as a brother Catholic. You know, like, I never get a chance to dish with Catholics. There's only 1.2 billion of us, after all. And, you know, he would always joke about it and refer to it. Now, that could be CBS. That could be him not wanting to lead a more entertainment show-oriented interview into the direction of religion, that he had other things. But I've watched some of the outtakes from that first night show. And now he didn't address that with Jeb, and I thought that was kind of intriguing. It certainly bears watching to see if he has the kind of freedom to go after religious topics. On the old show, he had frequently had guests on that were blatantly related to religion, either pro-religion or anti-religion, and some of the most memorable interviews were him just dissecting liberal critics of religion and Christianity in particular. And he even once greeted the very, very conservative William Donahue of the Catholic League. He had him on the show and greeted him like a long-lost friend. It was one of the most amazingly sympathetic, funny but sympathetic interviews I've ever seen him do. So the fact that he didn't even mention that to Jeb Bush is kind of interesting. I don't know whether you caught it, but it was interesting that when he came out at the opening of the show, he did, before starting his remarks, make the sign of the cross, which I thought was kind of an interesting little wink-wink. And back to the other thing, a while ago I stumbled all over myself trying to remember the show. I mean, my brain has come unfroze. When he opened the show, he did the national anthem with people all over the country, Fort Worth, San Francisco, all kinds of crazy places. But it wasn't America the Beautiful or anything. It was the national anthem that he opened his show with. So, duh. How could I mess that up?
I'm wondering what we're seeing here, just to kind of speak about him as comedian entertainer, and then, as you have said already here in our conversation, most prominent celebrity believer that there is right now. How much of the Colbert we saw before was the shtick, and how much of it was, or maybe him turned up to 11, and how much of it was the real Stephen Colbert?
Oh, well, he's already said that he was going to end the old show because he couldn't continue to look at the world through a lens as cynical as he had created for that show, that he wanted to be himself. But anyone who was familiar with the old show knows that in terms of faith content, the faith content interviews were the times when you could see the mask drop. He was never more the actual man Stephen Colbert on his old show as opposed to the mask of the blowhard. He was never himself more than when the mask came down and he talked about his faith. Anyone who knew the old show knows that.
Now, let's come back to kind of the theme of our conversation, which is the face of a believer who, contrary to all stereotypes about Catholics and Christians in general, he is extremely intelligent. He is seems to be very well educated. He is smart and funny at the same time. He does shatter the kind of ham-fisted stereotype of a Christian in media.
Well, part of that is because the perception in the media is that he's consistently liberal. I think to some degree he represents a kind of a safe form of Christianity, that if you were going to let anybody get away with it, it would be someone as cool, hip, and perceived to be liberal on everything. And I have no doubt whatsoever he's a liberal on most issues. But when you get him talking about religion, there are some very interesting threads. And like I said before, I don't think I've ever seen this man undercut anything in basic Catholic doctrine on the air. This is part of this theme here, that people, he's allowed to talk about religion, but maybe we're still uncomfortable with it. Maybe, for example, that New York Times piece, they just couldn't mention it. So this bears watching. This bears watching.
One of the things that he's going to have to address here is, because it's timely, his writers are probably working on it and have been working on it for months now. It's going to come up in a monologue, and that is the visit of the Pope.
Oh.
What do you expect?
Well, he's already joking about it to some degree in other contexts, and he made it clear the first night that, you know, that's on the table. I also, there's been news reports that say he is working like crazy to get somehow anywhere near the Pope during the New York visit. I'll be shocked if he doesn't do anything with that. And with his connections through Cardinal Dolan's office, who he has done appearances on the subject of Catholics and humor, I wouldn't put it past him to pull that, you know, a handshake or a hug or something off. I would not put that past him at all.
And how is he going to play that, given the fact that, as you've said, he does not publicly undercut historic teachings of his church? How do you think he's going to do that, besides the ha-ha of getting to shake the hand of the Pope on a rope line or something like that?
Let's watch to see if that's when the unofficial chaplain of the old show, Father James Martin, who is a progressive Catholic priest, who was on the show constantly, let's see if that's the hook for the return of James Martin to the show. That's one of the things I'm watching for. When does Father Martin walk in? And I'll bet it has something to do with the Pope being in town.
Is part of the thing here that is that he's contrary to, or in contrast to, his predecessor, he actually is interested in matters of faith? He's actually interested in his religion?
Well, he's more than interested. This man lost his father and two of his brothers and lost his faith and has come back. And he's now a Catholic parish Sunday school teacher who is one of the people who works with people who are converting into the Catholic Church. That's way more than just being interested. There isn't another guy that fits this profile in Catholicism in America who has the hip quotient factor he has. And there are lots of conservative Catholics who are uncomfortable with him, and they have their suspicions about him. But the only point I was making is that for journalists, this part of his life simply has to be part of the picture. If you're going to make sense out of who he is, why he's funny, how he survived the tragedies in his life, you can't talk about this man without bringing this up.
I was thinking about Jimmy Fallon, who's the other guy who sits across from him at another network. And Jimmy Fallon raised a Catholic and has been pretty forthright about kind of a casual interest in historic Catholicism. I think there was a quote several years ago from him in an interview where he went to a non-traditional mass and just kind of riffed on it for a while, found it to be completely, felt completely out of place, in something other than the traditional Mass. But Jimmy doesn't have the same background. He comes from Cynicism Central, SNL, rather than Colbert, where he had he could pretty much say what he wanted to say on the air.
Yeah, well, he's the pop culture riffer, et cetera. I mean, they couldn't have more different profiles. But that's one of the things we have to see if it pulls into the new show. I mean, you didn't see serious historians of Catholic life, Christian life, serious critics of the Christian faith, scientists, astronomers. You didn't see people whose work bumped into the serious side of faith week after week after week. You don't see that on The Tonight Show. And now we have to watch and see if that shows up on the new show.
One more question. Are there other Stephen Colberts out there in entertainment who simply don't have the talent to pull off what he's done, but they have the same sentiment?
Well, I don't know how to address that in the sense that there is an entire world of alternative Christian comedy. You know, the whole world of Christian as adjective, that whole niche market with Christian movies and Christian diet books and Christian this and Christian that and Christian hip-hop and Christian country and the never-ending quest to find the Christian Stephen King, and which is ironic since Stephen King is a practicing Catholic. But that can go on and on. I think there are a lot of very funny people who are comics and who are Christians. There is no one who has reached the level of commanding the public attention on the national mall and in Congress like this guy. Nobody. Nobody at all.
Is it too complicated for the media to cover the connection between this man's comedy career and his faith? Only about a minute.
Well, you can't do it in a 500-word news piece. I think I pulled it off in about a 750-word, but I'm writing to an audience that talks about religion a lot. What disturbed me was the New York Times, in a magazine-length piece, writing to an elite audience with elite writers and editors, that they didn't try to pull it off. What does that tell you? When our newspaper of record, in a long story, does not even want to address the faith content. I found that disturbing.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, and he's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, September the 10th, we will review the movie that is surprising people with its success, War Room. Pastor Joseph Abrahamson will be our guest.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. the gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.